From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Our program this morning has highlights from our services on All Saints Sunday, November 4th.
Shall we stand for the call to worship? We gather to worship surrounded by the faithful of all ages.
Our ancestors and their generations.
The Lord apportioned to them great glory.
They were clothed in God's majesty.
Their bodies are buried in peace.
But their names live on generation after generation.
The assembly declares their wisdom.
And the congregation proclaims their praise.
Join in the prayer of the day for this All Saints Sunday. Almighty God, whose people are knit together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord, grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Before God, our rock and our refuge, let us keep silence, confessing our sin. Most merciful God, you know our failings better than we do. Our sins are revealed in the light of your face. Our days and years pass by. The things we trust fade like grass. Be gracious to us, O God. Guide us again to the water of life, and renew in us the grace of baptism through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You are all children of the light and of the day. You are God's children now. In the mercy of God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sin. With all the faithful in heaven and on earth, rejoice and be glad.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in
Children's Time is presented by Carla Clennon.
So today we are talking about weeping. Does anybody know what that word means? Crying. Have any of y'all ever cried? Why would you cry? Someone hurt you? Anything else? You get what? When you get bullied? When you lose someone? When you burn yourself? That's a good one. Have you all ever fallen off your bike and got an injury? Yeah, and it hurts. What about tears of joy? Have you ever seen any tears of joy? What would be a joy? What about if you welcome a new baby? Yeah, we have tears of joy too. Well, today our scripture, it's the shortest scripture that's in the Bible, and it says, Jesus wept. Two words. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. But today, so we found out all of our cries. You know, Jesus cries. He cried. What do you think his cries were about? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus cried when he prayed for others. He also prayed while he was here on earth and offered prayers of pleading and loud cries of tears. When Jesus saw his people who were missing out on what God wanted them, Luke tells us that Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city. He wept over it and said, "I wish that even today you would find a way of peace. But now it is too late. The peace is hidden from you." In another story we have, Jesus had a friend named Lazarus who became very sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus and asked them to come and heal Lazarus. But when Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already died. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw Mary weeping because her brother had died, he cried too. That isn't all what Jesus did. Listen to what happened next. Jesus went to Mary and Martha and some of the others to come out to visit the grave where they had buried Lazarus. It was a cave with a large stone across the entrance. They had arrived at the tomb. Jesus said to some of the men who were with them, "Take the stone away." Then Jesus called a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus walked out of the grave. I imagine that when Mary's tears were saddened, turned to tears of joy. We all cry, and I'm glad that we have a Savior who weeps too. I'm glad that he loves us so much that he hurts when we are hurting. He feels our pain and sees our tears and knows perhaps he keeps our tears in a bottle. Let's say a little prayer. Dear Jesus, it is comforting to know that when we cry, you cry with us. But it is even more comforting to you to know that you have the power over death and the grave, and that one day we will be in heaven with you, and then and there will be no more tears. Amen.
Our anthem is a spiritual by our senior choir, Shut the Door. The choir is directed by Stacy Frederick.
Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Shut the door. Keep out the devil, shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil, light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Now when I was a little child, shut the door, keep out the devil. Good and bad was just a game. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night.
Many years and many trials,
shut the door, keep out the devil.
They prove to me they're not the same.
Shut the door, keep the devil in the night.
Shut the door,
keep out the devil.
Shut the door,
keep the devil in the night.
Shut the door,
keep out the devil.
Light the candle, everything's all right.
Every little thing is gonna be all right.
Don't worry,
don't worry,
oh,
don't you worry now.
Shut the door, shut the door.
Don't worry.
Shut the door,
don't worry.
No, don't you worry now.
Shut the door, shut the door.
Don't worry.
No, don't you worry now.
Shut the door, shut the door. Don't you worry now. Shut the door, shut the door. You gotta shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Every little thing is gonna be all right. Shut the door.
Our first two scripture lessons are read by Becky Snyder.
Good morning. Please join me for the prayer of illumination. Shine within our hearts, loving God, the pure light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our minds and hearts that we may understand and embrace the message of the Scripture. Amen. This morning's first reading comes from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Here ends the first reading. Second reading comes from Revelations 21, verses 1 through 6a. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Here ends the second reading.
Our gospel reading and his sermon, Let Us Be Glad and Rejoice, is by Pastor Eugene Maul. I want to mention that this is his last sermon as our interim pastor. The good news of Jesus Christ really shined through in his ministry to us.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was in a cave, and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been here dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Funerals may not be a time of joy for us, but they can be a time of celebration. I recall having an elderly couple talk to me after a funeral and burial at one of my early years of ministry. And they said to me they never thought of it this way before, but they enjoyed the funeral. It was a celebration. And it helped me to shape some of my ministry, hearing things like that. It can be a celebration among the tears of the day. A celebration because of the victory that has gone before us. God has already gone first. There's a baptismal hymn that reads, "He that is believed and baptized shall see the Lord's salvation." And this is cause and reason for celebration. If I were picking some hymns for my funeral, I think about that once in a while, and I even wrote a few down. I wish to have hymns of joy. I wrote things like, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Or, "Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son." Of course, with trumpets. Or, "Children of the Heavenly Father." It says, "Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh." Or how about, "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King." Love to hear that at the funeral with the tambourines and the choir dancing. See, today is All Saints Sunday. To some, the Saints are a football team, and they're pretty good this year. To others, it's a special people of the church remembers, like saints, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, and Paul. You know, one little child was once asked, you know, "Who are the saints?" And it was a beautiful sunshiny day in a building like this. And they said, "Oh, they are the ones that the light shines through." See, on the windows. They are the ones that the light shines through. To others, all those who have died in the faith are saints, including many who have been a part of this congregation. And to others, saints are all of the people of God. For a saint is a forgiven sinner. You know, we could say all of the above here, but we're going to forget about the football team part of it today. But let's remember some of the others. Remember all who have been blessed with God's presence as we celebrate this Memorial Day of the church. The verses from that first reading from Isaiah begin, and they set the tone of a resurrection victory that helps to bring the people from despair to hope. It wasn't many chapters before this that, I mean, Isaiah was saying, "Woe to you people," but now he brings hope. "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all the peoples, the sheet that is spread over the nations, and he will swallow up death forever." The people of God at that time had buried their dead, but without really much hope of a resurrection. I mean, think of people like Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and King David and King Solomon, some of the prophets. There was not a lot of hope, except that they were living in God's presence and they realized his forgiveness for them. But in these words, Isaiah began to see it differently. And he indicates that the dead shall rise. "This is the day that we have been waiting for," he said. "Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." My grandfather, I always thought, is a rather interesting, colorful person, Grandpa John. He was a person of great faith. And one of the things he often said with real feeling and conviction and affection is that when someone died, they were planted. I mean, he'd come to the house one day and he says, "Well, yeah, they planted old Annie Schwant," or whoever the person was. And really, he is right. For a plant leaves a seed that is planted, and it springs forth to life. So our mortal remains are planted to rise to victory. In the burial service, we often say, "Ensure in certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to Almighty God our brother or sister, and we lay this body to rest in the company of all your saints. And at last, O God, raise him or her up to share with all the faithful the endless joy and peace that's won through the glorious resurrection of Christ our Lord." That is why we say, as Isaiah does, Let us be glad and rejoice. And when we rejoice, we celebrate. Here is a picture of a feast. And what a feast it is. Rich food, feast of well-aged wines. Rich food with marrow, wine strained clear. The chef is God, has prepared the tastiest of morsels for us. And the banquet is symbolic of salvation. The people eat the new life. God eats death. God will swallow up death forever. And the promise is there to the end of all grief and suffering. Let us be glad and rejoice. And then they can come and dig in and eat. The beat goes on of hope renewed in the words of Revelation. The feast that we saw in Isaiah becomes a foretaste of the feast to come. Here was what we find, a new heaven and a new earth, a holy city, a new Jerusalem, God coming to dwell among people, among mortals, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, and mourning and crying and pain, no more, and all things will be made new. And who is doing this? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. What better drink than this to accompany this great feast God prepares for us in Isaiah? And this Alpha and Omega walk with us. In the gospel, we find him at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus had died. And the people were grieving there, as they usually did for about 30 days at that time. And Jesus had dilly-dallied getting there, and he missed the funeral. He made sure Lazarus was good and dead by the time he got there. And earlier, before the text, he met Martha, who said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." "Oh, your brother will rise again." "Oh, I know he will rise at the last day." And that's when Jesus had those great words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And Martha would say, "Yes, Lord." Now the gospel catches up with Jesus also meeting Mary. And it's much the same greeting. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus saw her weeping and was disturbed. And Jesus, it says, began to weep, or as was told here, the children. That short verse in the RSV, it's translated, "Jesus wept." In the face of humanity, he cried. In face of sin and death, he cried. He weeps. He cries for us in our human needs of life. I may have mentioned before that we were living in Oklahoma at the time of the bombing of the Alfamura building in Oklahoma City. And it's now several years back. And it's still hard for me to talk about it today. We were about 12 miles away when it happened. I was heading toward the church, saw this mushroom cloud go up. Gladys was at the church. She heard the loud blast and she went out of the building to see if perhaps a plane crashed. And we put two and two together and we turned on the radio and the reports began to come in about this bombing of the Murrah building and the fact that the front was gone, a lot of offices are gone. Oh yeah, the Social Security area has been affected. And there's a daycare center in there. Children. We did not lose any members from our church, but many friends of members. One of our members had an office that was gone, but he luckily had been meeting in a back corner at the time of the blast. But his wife stopped at the church that morning and said, "I know Gary's office is gone, and I don't know where he is." But they caught up with him at a hospital later, and he had a few staples in his head, and he was able to go home. I think I had one member say they went to funerals of 11 friends from the Social Security office. Several years later, we were back in Oklahoma City, and we went to the memorial site. Some of you may have seen that. There was a church just across from where this happened, and they made a special corner by this church. There were stones placed for each person killed in the blast, and a statue of a figurine of Jesus looking towards the site. with two words on it. Jesus wept. See, yes, he cries with us when the perils of travail and go our way. Here he just says, roll the stone away. Oh Lord, he's been dead 4 days, he stinketh. Take away the stone. And Lazarus came out, and when the bindings were removed, there was rejoicing. See, in the face of death, God's power is revealed. In the resurrection, God also rolled away the stone, and there is life. With fear and death and sorrow removed, the stone is rolled away for each of us as he comes for us in our needs and our trials of life. I can just imagine as I grew up, he might have said to me, oh Lord, what did you get into now? And probably had a few tears. See, yes, there will be a feast like for all the people of Isaiah. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that we see in Revelation. God will make all things new. And yesterday we remember the saints who have passed on before us. But for the saints who are still here today, this is a foretaste of the feast to come. And for this we are glad and rejoice. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Go in strength to be the saints of God. Live the way of God with confidence, for God is your shepherd and will guide you to the spring of life as we go out to be God's people. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.